Okay, good morning, and a good yontif, everyone. Today, we have permission. I have permission to be late and not on time because you see from Bahayoyim Yoyim that Yutas Kislev is a busy day. It said that they used to make the Chalukas Hashas on the 19th on Yutas Kislev, but then they changed it. And they made it on Chavdal Tevis because it was Ein Lohem Pnai. They didn't have any time. So if I'm a little late today, I'll forgive myself. And maybe you'll forgive me too. Okay. Today I'd like to talk about, as the Mabul, we're continuing the Inyanim about Mashiach. So an interesting part, an interesting discussion. You know, one of the parts that, of course, always intrigued me, that there must be, you know, some mystery in it, something very unique and special, is the after the Mabul is receding, so the manner in which Noach gets to check and to figure out how whether the Mabul is over was that he uses birds. So first he sends out the Oirev, which is the raven, and the raven doesn't want to go. The raven just is hovering or flying around and around. Yatza v'shoiv, yatza keeps on going and back and forth around the teva, doesn't go. And then Noach sent out the dove, or yoina, the bird, and to see if the waters have cleared the earth. The bird didn't find anywhere to land, and he came back to the teva. So Noach goes and he takes the bird in, the dove, and he waited 7 days. Then he sends the bird out a second time. And this time the bird goes flying, and the bird does come back, but he comes back with an Ali Zayas. He comes back with a... just 1 second, I'm going to adjust something. He comes back with an Ali Zayas, a leaf from an olive tree, taraf befiya, snatched in its mouth. So Noach sees that there's already dry land, that the trees are exposed, and the bird was able to fly and get something. And then finally he waits another 7 days, and he sends out the bird, and v'layasva shuvei l'oid, the bird doesn't come back to him. So the sending of these birds, there must have been something that this symbolizes, something that this, and obviously related to the coming of Mashiach. In other words, when I'm going through the Chumash now, I'm looking for clues. There are certain hot spots that, you know, look over here. Something has got to be over here. So I did find some interesting things. In the Yalkut Mashiach and Geula, I have to give him tremendous credit because he has brought together such an amazing compilation of makairis and things about Yonah Geula Mashiach in the Torah. So so let's first look at the raven. Noach sends out the raven. And the raven is this tamei bird. And then he sends out the yoina. So what is the significance of sending out that raven? So here this is, and it says, ad yeboisha samayim, till the water dries. So this is pure drush that I'm going to say something very, very interesting. I think it's very beautiful. Again, this is not pshat. It's also, I wouldn't say it's soid. It's more of a remez. But the Torah is to be expounded in Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Soid. So I would think that this belongs to the Remez. So this is from the great Chassidish Rebbe, the Bnei Yisachar, in a Sefer, Agra Dekala. It's a very beautiful Sefer. It's got really, really gems of deep Chassidish in Yanim. So, and he mentions that the Oirev, that Noach sending the Oirev, was that he was dispatching a klipa. Orev is a raven, it's a black bird, it's a tame bird, and it represents a certain klipa, we'll see soon what this oirev represents. But the oirev is a klipa, and by Yoina sending away the oirev, he foresaw that this klipa is going to have a lot of power in the latter part of the Jewish exile, and the latter in the end of days. And he wanted to weaken the klipas ha'oirev. He wanted to weaken it. So by sending it away from the Teva is the source of holiness. It's the source of godliness. The whole world is in chaos. The whole world is a mess. And the Teva is floating. And the Teva is God, as we spoke earlier. It's got already the Giluyim, the revelations of Yemois HaMashiach. So Yoina wants to disconnect. I mean, Noach wants to disconnect the oirev from the Teva in order to weaken it. Okay, and this is the meaning of, it says, Vayotza Yotza Vishuv, that the Oirev was sent away from the Teva, the raven, and it kept on flying back and forth. It was going and returning, Ad Yeboisha Samaya Me'ala Aretz, until the water is dry from the earth. Yeboisha Samayim, the water being dry from the earth, is referring to the end of days and the coming of Mashiach. So the Mayim that we're talking about over here, as we're soon going to see, we can look at Mayim. Last week we spoke at the Mayim of the Teva as the waters of knowledge, the holy waters, the waters of Kemayim Layam Machasim. Then we don't want those waters to dry up. Then you want those waters to be present. But we're talking about the Mayim in the simple sense, that the Mayim were Mayim HaZedonim. It was waters raging, or waters of rage, waters of anger, waters of wrath. So that's referring to the galus. The galus is related to the mayim hazidonim. Like we learn in Chassidus too, we have always reference to mayim rabim leyuchlu lachabas, that the torrential waters cannot extinguish the love. What are we talking about? We're talking about all the distractions and all the problems, as the Alter Rebbe describes, the tirdei sapranasa. So the mayim are talking about negative waters. So the raven is flying over the world at the conclusion of the flood. Again, during the Mabul, meaning during the long duration of Golus, the early period, the raven is not spreading its wings and flying over the earth. It's inside the Teva. But once it left the Teva, at the end of the Mabul, it hangs around until the water, till the earth is dry from the waters, which means until Mashiach comes. Which, by the way, is also hinted to in the word Yaboishas Hamayim, because Yaboishas, if you change the letters, it gives you the words Tishbi. And Tishbi is Eliyahu Anavi, who's called Eliyahu HaTishbi. And Eliyahu Anavi comes to be Mavasar the Giyula. That Yaboishas Hamayim, who's the one who tells us that the water has dried up, that's going to be Eliyahu Anavi, the Mavasar HaGiyula, Eliyahu HaTishbi. So this Klipa is going to be around till that time. Who is this Klipa? Klipas Oirev. So he says something really, really interesting. He says that if you look in Midrash Chazal, you find that the klipa of that Esav is compared to the raven, and Yishmael is paired to a different bird. It's called the zarzir. I looked it up before. I put in Google Translate. Today you get everything on the spot, and I asked what's zarzir in English, and it gave me an English name of a bird. And I forgot it. I didn't write it down. And I don't remember but I didn't know what that bird is either, so the English didn't help me. So whatever it is, it's a different kind of a bird. It's called a zarzir. And an oirev is a raven. And when Chazal say that Esav went to marry Yishmael, they went together because Esav got married to the daughter of Yishmael. He became Yishmael's son-in-law. The Medrash says, Loi lechinam halach ha'oirev etzel hazarzir. It wasn't for nothing that the oirev went to the zarzir. You see clearly from here that Esav is compared to the oirev, and Yishmael is compared to the zarzir. Now he says that these two klipais, these two impurities, these two forces, shells, forces of negativity that prevail in the world, are Esav and Yishmael. Even though the nations of the world are divided into 70 nations, but the 70 are divided into two groups. The group of 35 and 35. 35 and 35, the two groups, because that makes up 70. And the two groups are led by the leader. The leader of one group is Klipas Esav, and the leader of the other group is Klipas Yishmael. So, And that's where it says, it's interesting, he says, obviously, Yishmo, we know, comes from the klipa of chesed, distorted kindness. Esav comes from distorted gevura. Like we know, loika Avram sheyatzem menu Yishmael, veloiki Esav sheyatzem menu, so each one produces a chesed when it goes unchecked, when chesed is not channeled in the right way, it can end up in. And by the way, I'm going to apologize that things are coming out of my mouth that are kind of weird today because I slept hardly slept last night, so I'm not my mind is a little loose. So you have these two kingdoms, Malchus Yishmael and like you see. In the world, you have the Christian world, and you have the Muslim world, and Islam and Christianity are the two dominating religions that dominated the world. And it says it's interesting. It says by Avram, it says that Avram took as he says he took as kol ele, the lashon over there. It says by he took as kol ele. He took the kol ele. By the Brisbane Absarim, it says that Avram took as kol Eile. So what's the Eile? Eile is these two forces. As kol Eile means the two Eiles. There's two Eiles. There's two forces of 35 and 35. And Avram goes and splits them in half. He cut them. Vayevater oisam batavech. And he splits them in half. Means he's weakening them. Kol Eile. Eile is 35. It's actually 36. But the Esav and the Yishmael are standing as sort of the on top. It's the Aleph in the Lamed Hay and the Aleph in the other Lamed Hay. That's the power of Esav and Yishmael. And he goes and he splits them in half. And what's the idea? He says, Batavech. What does Batavech mean? He says, the Yidden are Teferis. Yidden are, the reason why the Jewish people come from Yaakov is because Yaakov is this. Yaakov doesn't have any leakage. Yaakov doesn't have any negative spill coming from him, like Avram and Yitzchak have. Because Chesed, can be misused. Gevura can be misused. But the Teferes is balance. So Yaakov is balance. So Yaakov, it says Mitase Shleima, there were only tzaddikim coming from him. So that's why you find between Avram that the Jewish people are in the middle. Between Esav and Yishmael. How do you see that the Jewish people are in the middle between Esav and Yishmael? You find that Shabbos, the Muslims celebrate a day of rest, and the Christians celebrate a day of rest. The Muslims' day of rest is Friday, the day before the Jewish people, and the Christians' day of rest is Sunday. So you see that they're the two extremes. And the middle is Shabbos Kodesh. And it's interesting, he says that by Yidden keeping Shabbos, we actually make a tikkun in Esav and in Yishmael, because they are extreming on the two sides and Shabbos is the center. That's why he says Shabbos is the exact gematria of Oirev and Zarzir. Remember what we said earlier? Oirev, the raven, is Esav. Zarzir is Yishmael. Shabbos is the exact gematria because Shabbos does the tikkun, and that's what Avram was doing. Vayevater oisem batavech. The tavech is the middle, and he's splitting them through the middle, which are the Jewish people. And we find also that the Jewish people throughout our galus, we were split between Ashkenazim and Sfardim. Ashkenazim hung out in the Esav world, in the Christian world, doing a tikkun on the Oirev, and the Sfardim were mainly living in the Middle Eastern countries dominated by Islam. So you have these two forces. Now, Oirev is the European, right, the Western world, and it's the Christian world. That's Esav. Who is the lead? Where did it? Now it wasn't always that way. Esav initially was Rome, and Rome wasn't Christian. It was later that it became Christianized. So, who is Esa Oirev? What's the Klipa Oirev? The klipa sa'orev, he says, is the klipa of Christianity. That's the raven. Esa oirev is the exact gematria. Here's this is amazing. Esa oirev is the exact gematria of Yishai Hanoitri, which is the name of him, of the Oisai Ish, the the leader or the source of Christianity. And that's what's going on in this pasuk, that Noach sees the power of the Christian power in the world before, and the suffering the Jewish people are going to have from in the last 1,000 years of exile, in which were suffered under the Christian world. So that's what it means. Vayishalach esa oirev, and he says it's hinting to also the pasuk says vayotza yotzai. It went out. What does it mean? It went out. Because it originates with a Jew. It originates with a Jew who is Yishai HaNoitzri. And he, however, Yatza, he went out and the sages expelled him because he was he laughed at Divrei, that's what happened. He was making fun of the Chachamim, and that's why they rejected him. They pushed him out. And that's the idea of a Yatza Yotza. He went out. And he's going to influence nations. And that's what it means. He's flying over the earth. He literally conquers thousands of people, 100, you know, all the nations in the world, half the world population, to his belief. Until when? Ad Yeboisha Samayim, until the end of days. Just one idea. I missed one thing. He says, Esa Oirev is Gematria Yishai HaNoitri. Yishai HaNoitri is Gematria 677. Esa Oirev is Gematria 678. One more. Why one more? Esa Oirev, more than his name, because there is him, and then there is a spark of godliness there. There is a nitzutz there. And there is a nitzutz that needs to have a tikkun. And that's what the Yidden are doing as a tikkun. And that's another interesting thing, why he says by the Oirev, it doesn't say like the Yoina. Two things it says by the Yoina, that it doesn't say by the Oirev. Number one, by the Oirev, it doesn't say a purpose why he sent him out. The Pasuk just says, he dispatched the Oirev. It doesn't say why he sent it out. When it comes to the Yoina, he gives him a purpose why he sent it out. Number one. The other thing is, by the Oirev, it doesn't say Vayishalach es Oirev me'itoi. He sent the Oirev from him. However, Vayishalach es Yoina, it says me'itoi, from him. And what is the idea? Because the Yoina, as we're going to see soon, is referring to Mashiach, it's referring to Kedusha. So therefore, the Oirev is, in other words, the Oirev, he didn't, because by the raven, he didn't just send it away me'itoi from him, and not only for a purpose. Vayishalach, he dispatched it, he sent it off, meaning he expelled it. He expelled this klipa, and meaning that to say that in the end this klipa is going to expire, it's going to expel, and all of humanity is going to turn to a recognition and understanding of the MS, and they're going to drop their mistake. I just thought this was a very interesting idea. The klipa of Oirev that Noach is sending. There's another. Also a remez digi inyan, which is, I think, is very pertinent. And that is, when he's sending out the Oirev, it says again, Vayotza yotza v'shuv, the Oirev went out and returned, Ad yeboishes amayim. So the Tferes Shloima, this is from Reb Shloima of Radomsk, says also something very, very, very powerful. Benegeya to the sending, that the yotza v'shuv, not referring so much to the Oirev, but that it's going back and forth and back and forth. Ad yaboisha samayim. The going out is, we know that nesham, you know, Yiddish neshamas are sent out into this world to do, we have a mission, and we have to spread godliness in the world. But sometimes a Jew exits his purpose. Sometimes we step out of line. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. But we know, okay, soif Yisrael lasas tshuva, in the end you do tshuva. Sometimes you make mistakes, sometimes you go out of the fold, come back. You know, within our life, bechla, we have our ups and downs. We have more inspired moments, and then we have less when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. So, Rabbunim of the Yidda Kaddish of Peshitzcha said to his Chasidim, he said, Yidden, he said, do tshuva, because there's no more time for Gilgulim. It used to be that if a person did not do his Avoida, he lacked in his Avoida, what happened? You come back again, you can come back into the fold. And that's the idea of yatzai v'shuv. You can go out, you can turn back. Do tshuva, go out and come back. There is time. And that's. But then there finally comes the last generation where we can't rely anymore because there's not going to be any more gulgulim. We have to finish our avodah. And that's the idea that v'yatzai v'shuv. We go in and out, back and forth, ad yaboishes amayim, until yaboishes means until the water dries out, but also, as we said earlier, until Eliyahu HaTishbi comes. Until we're dealing with the last generation, that's what the Rebbe told us, that we're the last generation. So now when Yutas Kislev, we have to be mizbainin in this Indian, that enough fooling around, enough messing up, it's time now that it shouldn't be anymore wishy-washy, yatsa v'shuv, back and forth, because Yaboisha Samayim is happening already. And therefore, there's no more room, there's no time for this monkey business, as you might say, or in our case, we would say raven business, of being in and out. Now, the Zohar says on the whole story of the procedure of Yoina, of Noach sending out the Yoina, that the sending of the Yoina we know, however, is referring to the dove, is a remes to Knesset Yisrael, is a remes to the Jewish people. The Jewish people are compared to a Yoina because of our faithfulness. The sages say that out of all species of animals and birds, the one that is the most loyal to its mate is the Yoina. All other species can switch mates, but not the Yoina. She remains remain loyal. They get married to each other, and this is the way they are. They stay together forever and ever, and that's why they're called lovebirds. Now that's why Yidna the same way. We can never separate from the Eibishter. So this whole remez of sending off the Yoina. Now the Yoina gets sent off three times. The Teva is the Beis Hamikdash. The Teva is Eretz Yisrael. The Teva is our root, our home. And the sending off of the Yoina is referring to the Jewish people being sent into exile. So the Zohar, and then, so what I want to share with you is now as a Zohar, but the Zohar has some interpretation. The Zohar has some interpretation by the Tzroir HaMoir, which is an early Sefer in Pirush HaMchumish, Api Kabbalah, I forgot who it is, the Sifsei Kayin, which is Reb Shapsi Kayin, the great, great halachic authority, the Shach. And then finally, the Bnei Yisachar all developed this Zohar in a very, very magnificent way. And again, each of them take a different route, but it's really, really very special. So the Zohar says like this. Rav Pinchas says that the Eibishter wanted to test the Jewish people, and he sent them to Bavel. So the first time the dove is the Yoina is sent, Noach is referring to Hashem, and the dove is Knesset Yisrael, is the Jewish people, and they're being dispatched. They're being dispatched was the first galus after we were already in Eretz Yisrael. And what does it say the first time the dove took its flight? It says it went out, v'yishalach es ha-yoina, and the first time it took its flight. Now, by the way, when the yoina goes, there's a remez, an interesting idea over here. When the yoina is flying, it's not flying itself. The Torah goes along, because the Torah goes to galus. The Torah goes to exile together with the Jewish people. So es ha-yoina, the dove, es is meramis to the two wings of the dove, which are from Aleph to Tav, because the Torah is our wings and carries the dove, which is Knesset Yisrael, throughout the exile. So the first time the Jewish people went into exile was we went into Galus Bavel. As we went into Galus Bavel, Bavel was very, very, very inhospitable to the Jewish people. Very inhospitable. And there was horrible, horrible persecution. We don't know that much about what was going on under the Babylonians because we've had enough tsaris in the last gullus, in the last 2,000 years, that it made us forget the tsaris tsaruris that the Jewish people had during the 70-year Babylonian exile. But it was a horrific time. So that type of a gullus was a very restless gullus. The Jewish people did not find a place. As the Pasuk says, v'layatza v'laymatza hayoina, Manoyach, the Yoina did not find a resting place, Lekaf Ragla, to put down its feet. And as we know, in that Golas, first they were in Bavel, then they were sent off to Madai, and then they moved into Paras. There were three exiles. There was such an unsettled time. They were moving from place to place and persecution after persecution. And as the Zohar says, they went in hunger, they went in thirst, and in the murder of tzaddikim. Many of the righteous were killed. And what happened? And because the galus was so unbearable, Vatashev Hayoina, the Yoina returned. And what does the Zohar say? That's referring to the tshuva that the Jewish people did. because the weight was too much to bear. The galus was bearing down on them too much. It forced the Yaina, it forced the Jewish people to do tshuva and to come back. And that's why, as the pasuk says, Vatashev Elav, that the Yaina is now returning, and the Vatashev means tshuva. And what happens? So, the pasuk it says, Vatashev Elav Alateina, Vayishlach Yadoi, he took it, Vayikacheha, Vayavei Oise Elav, and he brought it back. All right? What happens next? Jewish people sinned again, and the Eibishter sends off, Noach sends the Yaina a second time. This second time that he sends, it says that this, he says he waited seven days. What's the 7 days? Oh no, so this is going to be, depends how we interpret the second flight. We're going to see this various interpretation. According to the Zayar, the second flight that the Yaina is being sent off was the flight, was when the Yaina was Galus Yavan. In other words, even though the Jewish people are still in Eretz Yisrael, but Hashem sort of sold the Jewish people off to the Greeks. And we were under the Greeks for a serious period of time. And again, we suffered terrible persecutions. But over here it says, in the pasuk, it says, Vatashev Elav Ayayna, the Yayna came back, Le'es Erev, towards evening. It doesn't mention evening the first time, it mentions evening the second time, because Galus Yavan was called Choshech. Remember we mentioned when we began, I think we mentioned this, that in the first pasuk of the Torah, it's mentioned in the second pasuk when it says, Va'aretz ha'isasayu v'avoyu, and the earth was chaotic and a mess. V'choshech al p'nei tahayim, so it's mentioning the four galias. Choshech, Chazal always referred to darkness as Galus Yavan. And that's why we celebrate the victory over Yavan, Dafka, with candles, Dafka Chanukah, because it's the victory of Ur over Choshech. And so Choshech is a Galus Yavan because Shechshichu Einayim, it made it dark for the Jewish people. Because we know that Galus Yavan was particularly a spiritual challenge to the Jewish people more than any other thing, because Vavetimu Kalashmanim, because they were Metame the Chachma, they defiled the wisdom, and the wisdom is light, Torah Ur. It was a fight against Torah, it was a fight against Kedushas of Torah, the holiness of the Torah. As we learn in Chassidus, that it was Lashkicham Torah Secha, that it's your Torah, the holiness. That's why it was extreme darkness for the Jewish people. And that's why it says, Le'es Erev, towards evening, when the darkness became so dark that they couldn't stand it anymore, it caused a revolt, and it caused the Jewish people, Vatashev, to return tshuva. We did tshuva, but who led the revolt? It was led by Alei Zayis. It was led by an olive branch. And the Zayar says that the olive branch is referring to the Chashmenayim. The Chashmenayim are Kohanim, and the Kohanim are anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, with anointing oil. So it's interesting. The Zohar is not pointing to the Nes of Chanukah that happened with the oil. The Zohar is pointing to the Chashmenayim, who are an oily bunch, an oily group, because they are oiled by the Shemen HaMishcha. So Vatashev Elav Ayayna, the Yayna is coming back. That's the return of Yidden in the Gullus, in the second Gullus, as we came back with this Alei Zayis, which is a very, very special idea of Chanukah. Then we lasted for a while, but not too long. And then finally, Vatashev, the Eibishter sends out the Yayna the third time. But this time it says, V'lo Yashev, it did not return. It didn't return. So the Zayar says that every Gullus has a Ketz. But this last Gullus, or a Ketz that's known, this last Gullus is endless. It's going on and on and on and on, because it says over here, the Lashon of the Zohar is, Amar Reb Pinchas, every galus, it says, b'chol pam b'pam shava, she does tshuva. Amar Reb Pinchas, chutz min galusa reviya. Reb Pinchas, I guess Reb Pinchas could be connected to Eliyahu HaNavi, Pinchas Eliyahu HaNavi, says, besides the last galus, dadayin loy shava, we still didn't do tshuva, v'hakol talo b'tshuva, it's all dependent on tshuva. And therefore, it's v'yishalach ha-sayayna b'galus edayim, the Ada Yom Lo Chazra B'Tshuva, it still didn't do Tshuva. Lo Yashuv Oid, it didn't return. What's going to happen? The Galus Ha'achron Ein Lo Ketz, it's all dependent on Tshuva. Amalei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said, because Rabbi Pinchas said that it's dependent on Tshuva. says, "V'shafta d'Hashem alekecha v'shamata b'koilai." That's it. Bottom line, we got to do tshuva. As Rambam says, "Im Yisrael loisim tshuva." If you didn't do tshuva, miyad en negolim. So Rabbi Akiva says, "How is this possibly going to happen? I mean, if someone does a serious look and we evaluation of the condition of the Jewish people, it chas v'shalom looks like there's no hope." Like, Rabbi Akiva asked this question: how is it going to be that all Jews are going to do tshuva? People that are living in the other ends of the heavens, the other living in the other ends of the earth, how are people suddenly all going to do tshuva? It doesn't make any sense. How are they going to unify together lemeba tshuva to do tshuva? Amalei Rebbe Eliezer. So Rebbe Eliezer said to him, Chayecha, I swear. Here's a beautiful thought. Also something very special for Yutas Kislev. The I yachzerin b'tshuva. If they will do tshuva, reisha kanishta, the heads of all communities, if the heads of all communities will do tshuva, or oy chada kanishta, or if one community will do tshuva, bischusam yiskanish kol galusa, in their merit, all the exiles are going to be gathered together. So it doesn't need a massive tshuva of everybody, one group. The Kaddish Baruch Hu istachi tadiri. Why? Because the Eibishter is desperate. That's what the Zohar says. Rabbi Eliezer says, because the Eibishter is mama, he can't stand the Golus either. So therefore, he's going to accept any offer we make him. If we're willing to make Epes an offer, the Eibishter is going to accept it. The Rebbe said, however, we did tshuva already. That's why the Rebbe says there's no explanation of why it's too well. But that's what the Zohar says. L'chein yechaka Hashem l'chananom. The Eibishter is waiting for to be able to take us back. That's the way the Zohar says it. In Tzrer HaMoyer, he brings this whole idea from the Zohar. He just adds little nice little ideas to this. And he says, one second over here. He says, the last Golus, it says, and the Yoinu B'lachayr, you know, if you learn at the story, it seems to be very painful. Because the last Golus seems, as when you learn the Zohar, it's dependent on tshuva. But what does that mean? The dove is not coming back? So again, Rabbi Akiva says they will do tshuva. So, but he learns over here that the last time it says, v'layosva oid elav, it didn't return anymore to it, meaning that this time, the Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, are not going to come back on their own. Elosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu ya'oyre roisa. The Eibishter is going to be ma'oyre. In other words, Yidna going to do tshuva. But the Eibishter is going to pick us up. The Yekumenu Ma'afra, the Eibishter is going to lift the Jewish people from their earth. Like it says, Akim es sukas David anafelis, that I myself am going to lift up the fallen sukkah of David. And that's what he teaches a pasuk. There's a very frightening pasuk in Eicha, where the pasuk says, Nafla v'leitoisiv kum besulas Yisrael. She has fallen, but she doesn't get up anymore, the daughter of Israel. So what does it mean? It seems like chas v'shalom, you're falling, you're not going to get up anymore. He says it means that you have fallen, and ultimately Knesset Yisrael doesn't have the koyach to get up on their own, and they need the Eibishter to come and pick them up. And that's hinted to in the like many tzaddikim told the Eibishter, you're waiting, you know, it's not going to happen. It's ultimately you that you have. We say to the Eibishter, you got to bring us to do tshuva. And that's also, and the Shach Allah Torah says the same explanation. He says that this time, v'yishalach esayayna, again, they all add some interesting ideas, but Now, to conclude just this thought with a slightly different version of this idea. So again, I started with the B'nai Yisachar and his Sefer Agra Dekala, and I'm going to conclude with him. He also learns this entire story of sending out the Yoina as the idea of the Golus, I guess the idea he took from the Zohar. But he has some interesting ideas, a little bit different. He says the first flight of the Yoina, that Noach sent out the Yoina, was, again, that was the first Golus, okay, Golus Bavel. And but he adds a little already the mystical side to things. He says that over there in the pasuk it says lirois hakalu. It says actually the purpose of the galus. The Eibishter is not sending stam et necha to Eino because we sinned. The purpose is a more deeper purpose. I mean, as we learned in Chassidus all the time, the Eibush to send into Galus because we need to collect the sparks. We need to be Mesak in the world. We have all the sparks of holiness that are all over. And that's the meaning of Lirois Hakalu Hamayim in Aretz. Lirois doesn't mean to see if the water receded. It means to see to it that the water should recede. The waters are the raging waters of Olam HaTayu, the Mayim Rabim, as the Alter Rebbe explains, that comes from the collapsed world of Olam HaTayu, that's called the Mayim Rabim, the big waters, that are creating this utter madness in this world. And the little bird flies over the waters to select the sparks of holiness, to do a Birur HaNitzutzes, to help the process of Hakalu HaMayim in Haaretz, to dry up the waters from the earth. What happens, however, is, as he says, the Yoina did not complete the job in the first Galus Bavel. We did some birurim, but she couldn't put down her feet. There is still enough water. There's enough klipa out there. Too much for the little bird, for Knesset Yisrael to handle. Because as he said, they went from nation to nation, from place. We returned to the Teva on our own. V'tashav el ha-teva, we returned to the Teva on our own, means that this time it wasn't like B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, when Hashem did Oysay Sumayfsim. Over here we made Aliyah. Together with Ezra, when we returned by the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish people, it was more like a natural return. We got permission from Koresh, we built the Beis HaMikdash, but it didn't have the power of the first Yetzias Mitzrayim when the Eibishter did it. And the reason is the Pasuk says that what? Ki mayim al pnei kol ha'aretz, because there's still water. Meaning we didn't finish the job. So we didn't have the merit to have the Eibishter do the miracles like he did, and it was an unfinished job. And he says the Jewish people were also in a fallen state. They married there was a lot of intermarriage. They were not the way they should be. And then what happens? But what the Eibishter did is Vayishlach es Yodoy. Yidden were coming back, but the Eibishter did so much that he sent his hand out to bring the Yoina back in. And what does that mean? Is that Hashem sent the latter Neviyam Achroinim. He sent Shluchei Hashem. And they are Chagai, Zachar, Yamalachi. They're called Hashem's hand, that at least they were stretched out to help the Jews back in, to help us return and settle back into Eretz Yisrael. Vayove Yodav Alateva. But here this is connected to Yutas Kislev, the next idea that he says. Vayachal oy chivas yamim acherim. And then he waits 7 days. What are the 7 days that he's waiting? 7 days and he's waiting is that Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael for 7 days, referring to the time that the Beis HaMikdash was standing. The second Beis HaMikdash stood for 420 years. 420 years is 7 times 70. Because 7 times 7 is 42. 49. No, so something doesn't stem. Because he says 40... No, because the truth is, he's not saying this. The Shach says it, Allah Teira, says that idea, but he says it in regards to the first Beis HaMikdash, that was 40... It stood for 410 years... No, it doesn't make any sense. 1 second. So what is he saying? 410 years. Somehow I had some miscalculation. Because it stood, there were Ayin Shemitahs, 70 Shemitahs at the first Beis HaMikdash stood. So that's 7 times 7. So it should be 490 years. I'm not sure. Okay. But in any case, but he learns over here that the 7 days that he waited was that, again, the Jewish people sinned, and the sin was a pagam in the 7 Midahs. As with the Averis that Yidden did relate to the 7 emotions. In any case, but here's the beautiful idea. What happened is, so Hashem sends away, Hashem sends the Yoino off again. Hashem sends the Yoino off again, which means the Golus Edom begins. So again, he learns the second flight is not like the Zohar we were learning till now. It's Golus Yavon. He's learning that the second flight is referring to already the Golus Edom, because Golus Yavon, we never left Eretz Yisrael. But the second flight of the Yoinim, which means you're sending it out of the Teva, that's the second Golus, the third Golus, meaning the Golus Edom. But this time, interesting, it doesn't say Vayishalach es ha-Yoinah me'itai. It just says Vayishalach es ha-Yoinah, he sent the Yoinah, not me'itai, not from him. Why? because in the second Beis HaMikdash, we never really were completely returned again to Hashem. Because when we came back and we built the second Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash never replaced the first Beis HaMikdash. The Hashras HaShchinah, the dwelling of the Shechinah, wasn't the same because we were lacking five fundamental aspects that were expressive, that were indicating that Hashem is fully there, which was in the first Beis HaMikdash. So that's why it doesn't say the second time V'yishalach me'itai, because even before that we weren't itai, we weren't with him, because we were semi with him. Hashem sent us off again, and hear this: Vayashav elav li'eis erev. We return towards evening. What's returning towards evening? This is not referring to the Geula. This is referring to the Jewish people beginning to make their return to Hashem. Le'eis erev is referring to during the nighttime of Elaf Hashishi. What's the nighttime of Elaf Hashishi? We spoke earlier. The Arizal is the night. Remember we spoke that there's 500 years of darkness, which is nighttime, and then there's 500 years of day. The Baal Shem Tov comes in the beginning of the day. During the evening time, we begin our return to the Eibishter, and that was in the third last part of the night is the Gili of the Arizal. When the Arizal came, Vatashav Elav Ayoina. The Yoina returns to a relationship with Hashem. Thousands of years of disconnect. And the Bnei Yisachar says, the Arizal is Vayashav Elav, and Vihine Ali Zayas Taref Befia. She has a little leaf in her mouth. What's the leaf? The leaf, he says, is oil. It's Ali Zayas. And oil is Pnimiyas HaTorah. In other words, the Jewish people are already clutching Chachma Teres HaChasidis, Teres HaKabbalah. We have already something to hold on to. And that is with this return during that period. But it wasn't like the Arizal came and all the people to Tshuva. It was a moment of Arizal. It was a moment of Baal Shem Tov in great light. And then, you know, we've fallen down again. And that's the idea that the Eibishter sends the Yoina. She's not ready yet. Even after she comes back with the Ali. And it's interesting. This time when it says that she returned, look what it says. Vine Ali Zayas Vatavi Elo Vayoina Le'eis Erev. It doesn't say to the Teva. Because this time we weren't returning to the Teva. We didn't return to Eretz Yisroel. We didn't return to a Beis HaMikdash. We returned to the Eibishter. And what do we have on our end? We have a Ali Zayas. We have Chassidus. We have Kabbalah, we have something spirit, God, right? And Noach knows, and the Eibishter knows, Ki kalu amaya me'ala aretz, that at that time, from the Arizal's days, the Rebbe Rishab also says it in the Maimer for Yutes Kislev, that from the Arizal's days, the persecutions of the Jewish people lightened up. We did not have the nonstop persecutions that we had in the latter few hundred years like it was before, except the Holocaust. I mean, there was enough tsaris, but it wasn't in anything compared, because the mayim that was there during the entire intensity of the Golas, that the Inquisitions, the Crusaders, and the Nandak was before the Arizal. And then things lightened up a little bit. He waited another 7 days. The Eibishter is waiting for the tikkun of the seven emotions. And finally, Vayishlach, okay. He's waiting. Of Ayyachal, Eibishter is waiting for the Shivas Yamim, meaning that we should complete the tikkun of the seven midos, and then the Yoina will not return. What does that mean? It will not return on its own, but the Eibishter will go and get her, like it says in the Zohar that the Eibishter will return us. Now, in other words, we're waiting for the ultimate redemption, for the Yulish Lema to come from Hashem.